KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Near East Ridge.
Sunset.
East Side, San Francisco.
Border of Venus.
San Jose.
Coming up, we meet a man who delivers food to rural California's hungriest and most isolated residents.
I mean, if you're hungry, you're hungry. I don't care who you are. If you're black, white, Indian, Mexican, fat, skinny, or from out of the county. It's like you're hungry, you're hungry.
Then we go to San Jose to meet the next generation of professional wrestlers chasing their dreams in the ring.
I just like to give the knowledge that I was taught and keep it alive. Even if only one student picks it up, if they teach it again later in life, it'll keep going on.
Stay tuned. Cross Currents is coming up. Trinity County is one of those places that doesn't get in the news much unless it's wildfire season, like it is right now. It's a beautiful, remote, rural part of Northern California. It's also one of the state's most food insecure places, where many people don't know where their next meal is coming from. For her podcast, California Foodways, KLW's Lisa Morehouse brings us this profile of one man who helps feed them.
The sun's barely come up in the tiny town of Douglas City, and three men are almost done packing a couple of trucks with food.
We're loaded to the gills. There's produce, there's cabbage, white onions, sweet potatoes, the senior box.
Jeff England's the director of the Trinity County Food Bank. I hop into the cab of a 20-year-old truck with a rattling refrigeration unit and join him on his monthly food delivery run to the county's hungriest and most isolated residents.
When I make my trip, because of all the twisty, turny roads, I kind of have to take it a little bit easy because...
Too sharp a turn can upend the pallets of food he's carefully packed for today's 10.5-hour drive. It's over 100 degrees and there's no air conditioning. Out the windshield, I see vehicles that have fallen off the side of the road and thickly forested mountains on one jagged ridge after another.
If it was just flattened out completely with all the mountains and everything else, it would be the size of Texas.
Today's his longest route, and he'll clock 230 miles.
So where are we now?
We're at Solid Rock Church in Hayfork.
Would you like some onions?
More than 50 people line up inside the church for prepared foods, some produce, and special boxes for seniors. England cobbles together this food from a spider's web of local, state, and federal programs.
You are welcome. Would you like some tea now?
Teresa Kirkland's a volunteer, but she also comes here to collect free food, which she often combines in casseroles.
Without the food bank, you just go without. I'm on Social Security. After you pay all your bills, if you have an emergency, a flat tire, or anything that you have to take care of, well, that has to wait until the following month. By the fourth or the fifth of the month, I'm broke. So I don't go nowhere, can't socialize.
It's a long month.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
be a long, long month.
She's here with Glenda Raines. Both of these women say they used to supplement their budgets by taking items to a recycling center in Hayfork, but that's closed now. Rain says until recently, she and her husband were homeless, camping out by the creek.
A friend let us stay there in their garage, made into a little cabin-like. I don't know how long this is going to last, but yeah, I'm still considered homeless.
At least you're out of the sun.
Yeah, I'm off the creek.
Glenda Raines prepares the food she receives on a little propane stove. Her husband, Gary, a former sawmill worker, approaches me and says he's frustrated that there's not more senior housing and that a glut of marijuana growers coming into Hayfork are jacking up rents. He receives just over $800 a month in Social Security.
Yeah, and I just got a ticket last month for $180 for being homeless in the National Forest. I didn't even know that was a law.
He is grateful for the food he gets here each month.
Get a can of this, a can of that, and you know, I mean, it's better than nothing, but I'm just saying you should get more, you know. I mean, this is America. You know, come on. You know, we should come first.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, we help other countries like we do. Why can't we help ourselves, you know?
Despite all the people I meet in Trinity who are struggling financially, more than 10 California counties actually have higher poverty. But Trinity is one of the state's most food insecure places. To find out why, I head to what looks like the center of food abundance in Trinity County, the Farmers Market in Weaverville. Market manager Sue Corrigan is shopping.
Still have zucchini. They're not too hot. Think we need some onions for some onion rings, huh?
As she points to one farmer selling tomatoes, squash, and cucumbers, Corrigan tells me something surprising.
This is my actual local farmer.
The only one from Trinity County among the 10 or so vendors at the market. Most of the land here is too mountainous to grow much produce. And Corrigan tells me years ago, much of the potential farmland was taken out of commission.
My family, two different sides of my family, we had farmland.
Going back to the 1830s. In the 1950s, Corrigan's dad went away to college to study agriculture, but he had to change his major.
Because the government was taking our land.
To build the Trinity Dam, part of the Central Valley Water Project.
One of our last areas that was open enough to do farming, and they buried it with a lake.
Finally, she says, it's about priorities.
Because we've had three different rushes that have happened in Trinity County. First, the gold rush, second, the timber rush, and now the marijuana rush, which is called the green rush.
But she says, you can't eat marijuana. Now I'm starting to understand the complaints I heard while on the food bank run with Jeff England about mills closing and marijuana growers moving in.
Focus has been on other industries and not a food sustainable industry.
Jeff England maneuvers around potholes to get to the most remote drop-off point today. He tells me about last winter, when he defied Caltrans workers and drove a closed, snow-covered road to deliver food to people who'd been stuck for months.
And I said, I have to go. Slipped, lost traction, gained traction, and I knew that they needed the food, and so I decided to take a chance, and I made it.
That's good, good. That takes a lot of guts, because even coming up the back of the mountain, they call it Refrigerator Alley for a reason. It gets pretty slick.
That's Lauren Turner, who's come to the food drop-off at the Volunteer Fire Department in Zinnia, a tiny town on the border of Humboldt County.
Yeah, no, we're grateful. It's not easy up here.
In exchange for doing some computer work, Turner and her partner live on a friend's ranch nearby. To get groceries?
Usually it's 100 miles in any direction from here to a large town where you can buy groceries.
More than a two-hour drive one way to Eureka or Redding. They only do that once a month. In between, they rely on the food bank delivery.
We keep the canned goods back for the times when we can't get off the hill. And the fresh fruit, I get imaginative and, you know, like I like to take the vegetables and I'll cook them with fruit juice and then I'll put fish on top of them at the last 15 or 20 minutes. Sometimes we get frozen fish and so I just make a lot of one-pot meals.
England works with his wife, one employee, and many volunteers. He says the team's more than doubled the amount of food they're bringing into Trinity County in the last year. They're delivering one bag or box of food to 2,500 households each month. That's 20% of the county. And they could do more, but their antiquated refrigerator and freezer are so small, sometimes he has to decline donations of perishable food.
And we probably have the lowest operating budget in the state. Our operating budget's like $41,000 a year.
England says the community here is incredibly supportive. If there's one complaint he hears, it's this one, that the food bank just enables drug addicted or homeless people.
We don't judge people. And you know, those druggies have kids. The kids might not get food normally.
But if the food bank provides, they do. That lack of judgment, it comes from personal experience. England says, he's been out of work before.
And I've struggled in the past, long time ago, with some addiction problems. And it just felt so good to be able to go to a place when you're hungry.
He remembers that first meal in a soup kitchen.
It was in a church. It was spaghetti. I had garlic bread and a salad.
And they sent him and others home with cans of soup and chili for additional meals.
A lot of people don't know what it is to be hungry, but if you've ever been hungry, it's a horrible feeling. You're weak, you can't do anything, you don't have any ambitions. I'm so happy to be able to turn the table and to be able to help people that might have been in my shoes before.
He says, just look at the logo of the food bank, a person on a pedestal reaching down, helping someone else up. In Trinity County, I'm Lisa Morehouse for Cross Currents.
That story is part of Lisa's podcast, California Foodways. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It was produced in collaboration with the Food and Environment Radio Network, a nonprofit investigative news organization. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. In the late 1800s, a new form of sports entertainment was introduced at circuses and carnivals that would eventually become known to the world as professional wrestling. While its legitimacy as a competitive sport has always been questioned, the business of pro wrestling has grown to become a billion-dollar industry and nothing short of a cultural and global phenomenon. Led by an experienced promoter and his team of coaches, a training academy in San Jose is continuing to teach the art form and traditions of the sport to a new generation of hopefuls looking to enter the squared circle. Our Beau Walsh has the story.
It's Saturday night, and hundreds of local pro wrestling fans are gathered in a high school gymnasium a few miles from downtown San Jose. The sounds of plastic vuvuzela horns echo throughout the building as ticket holders, both young and old, climb into the bleachers. The place is packed and ready to rumble.
Well, the energy here tonight in Mount Pleasant High School has been at a fever pitch for this capacity sold-out crowd, and they are sitting on the edge of their seats for this one.
My name is Rick O'Shea. I wrestle under the name Wrestling Personified Rick Luxury, or here at Revolution as the Grappler Number 3.
Grappler 3 sent all the way to the outside, crashing into the guardrail.
He moves as if every part of his body is sore. But although these legs may have some miles on them, Grappler Number 3's hands operate with precision in the ring as he puts his opponents through a series of wrist locks and choke holds. Just when the ref turns his head, this crafty veteran reaches into his bag of dirty tricks.
And just like that, Grappler Number 3 can slide right into the ring with a big back elbow to the back of the head.
Cheap shot by Grappler 3.
And now an illegal blatant choke right in front of the official.
The rowdy crowd of hecklers hurl their insults at the tight spandex-wearing masked villain as he plays the role of the bad guy and mocks them right back.
Full of so much hatred and venom, John. He's a real disgrace to the whole grappler lineage.
Rick O'Shea is involved in a six-person tag team match tonight, along with his partners Zuka and Ojo Blanco. They're the opening match at the 10th anniversary show for Pro Wrestling Revolution, a San Jose-based professional wrestling promotions company.
It's the show that I basically debuted with Revolution on, so it's actually very exciting.
When he's not sacrificing his own body in the ring,
gonna try and suplex Grappler Number 3 and does so.
Rick is teaching the next generation of aspiring pro wrestlers how to take bumps at Pro Wrestling Revolution's training academy.
Go back up out of the corner. Keep it up. I tell all my guys, and I haven't told a lot of these guys, I mean, whatever happens in your day, at work, school, home, whatever, check your baggage at the door. Walk in there with a clear head. Let's grind out and get practice on it. All right? Next two.
My goal in life, my dream is to become a wrestler. I feel like this is my calling. I want to do it.
18-year-old Mason showed up at the academy to pursue what he feels is his destiny.
Everything I do, I've systematically built my life over the past 4 years, all culminating to being a wrestler. Everything I do is to get me one step closer. I can't imagine my life without wrestling at this point. It's like intertwined.
My name is Tracy Bunta, and I'm from Berkeley, California. I've been at Revolution for a year now, and I absolutely love it. This program has been nothing but good to me.
After growing up with martial arts, Tracy found herself right at home in the training academy ring.
I've trained in Muay Thai since I was 13, so I have a little bit of a fighting background. So pretty much I'm a fighter. Most people start out saying, oh, I just want to be in the WWE. I want to be bigger than that. I want to be known worldwide.
Pro wrestling hopefuls from different paths and backgrounds walk through these doors to chase their dreams of making it to the big stage like their veteran teacher.
All right, here you go. This one's called the Pendulum of Pain. It's not that painful.
From body slams to submission holds, Rick teaches the tools of the trade in the evening advanced level courses at the academy.
There's the old traditional aspects of pro wrestling that are still taught by guys like myself.
When he's instructing, you can hear a pin drop.
Pay attention. Don't talk. Show respect. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Learn and listen.
I just like to give the knowledge that I was taught and keep it alive. Even if only one student picks it up, if they teach it again later in life, it'll keep going on.
You can overexert this. I'm trying to throw him off balance here. Boom! Now that I have my balance, I catch. And by the time I get here, he has to circle up to me. Okay?
Rick became involved with Pro Wrestling Revolution after being recruited to wrestle at a live show 10 years ago.
I was contacted by the promoter, Gabe Ramirez. He had wanted to bring me in for their show in San Jose, and I've been working with the company ever since.
The dreams of Gabe and Shannon Ramirez have now captivated the wrestling world, John. Created incredible stars and talents through the Pro Wrestling Revolution Training Academy.
My name is Gabriel Ramirez. I am the owner and promoter of Pro Wrestling Revolution. The plan was never to run a school. The plan was to do a couple of shows and see what happens. So we tried one show, and it did really well. And then next thing we know, we had a sponsor who wanted us to do a show somewhere else. Then you buy a ring, and then we needed somewhere to put the ring at. Oh, you know what? We can get a small little warehouse and put the ring up.
What started as a storage space for Gabe's wrestling ring quickly evolved into something else.
The Pro Wrestling Revolution Training Academy is now enrolling new students. Train with some of the best wrestlers in the business, and you too can become a professional wrestler with programs for all skill levels.
There was times we had two students, and we were like, wow, we got two students. And now we have 45, and we have up to four trainers.
That's what I want to hear. I want to hear. I am not satisfied with my previous performance, and I want to knock it out of the park.
For Diamond San Bartolome, the support from industry pros has kept him inspired.
Once you hit those moves and you hit the bumps so perfectly that you get your coaches like, hey, good job, you know, it was awesome.
Put the arm! Put the arm! Beautiful! Yeah!
And you start progressing from the beginners to the intermediates to the pros, and then, you know, bam, 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 and you're there. And you got guys telling you, hey, you might be wrestling soon. We've been using you. Bring your gear. Be ready. So it just kind of makes you feel like, oh man, I can do this.
Diamond has seen firsthand how quickly Academy members can break into the business. Several of his classmates now wrestle in live shows.
In this contest, introducing first, from the bodega, weighing in at 303 pounds, King Fat Boy, Pablo Esco.
You're talking to the King Fat Boy, Papo Esco, and I'm from the Bodega Papi, where you can get anything you need, including a beatdown.
And they're gonna pay the price for stepping into the ring with the King Fat Boy. Uh-oh. No. Don't do this, Papo.
He's a
Don't
child.
Do it. Oh my God!
Oh my God, the power of Papo Esco.
My end goal, to beat as many people up as I can.
Showmanship, character development, dramatic storylines.
The combination has made professional wrestling an often misunderstood sport and art form.
It's hard to define what we do in one word because it's theatrical in one aspect. You're being stuntmen at the same time. You're being actors as well. It's a contact sport like football. It's like you know, martial arts of some sort. You're allowing people to literally grind you to the mat.
It's two things. The little guy really, really, really wants it, and the other guy wants to make him look good. So it takes multiple
push and pull.
The predetermined outcomes of professional wrestling have led many to label it what they can't describe any other way: fake.
I don't like when people say that wrestling is fake. It's not fake, it's real. It's very physical. It hurts. I just want people to know that this is a sport just like anything else.
While the decision of who wins or loses a match might be fixed, there's no denying the skill and physicality that wrestling requires.
If I told you, hey, I'm gonna hit you with this bat, just because I told you that I'm hitting you with the bat, it doesn't mean the impact of the bat will be any less.
You're choking him.
Death, paralysis, and every injury imaginable have all taken place in the ring. And with frequent bodily impact that's been compared to a small car crash, the risks remain with every match.
If you can master the art form, you know, the chances that you can maybe get unscathed in this business is great, but there's dangers around every corner, and at any time, you know, it could be over in an instant.
Grappler 3 in a lot of trouble, taking a hell of a lot of punishment on that lower lumbar region.
Rick is living proof of the real blood, sweat, and tears that the pros give to the sport.
I've torn the cartilage in my knee. I've chipped my elbows to the point that I can't straighten them all the way. I've lost my teeth, concussions, you know. If people are worried about concussions and football, those guys have pads and helmets on, you know. We're out there without it.
With over 20 years in the business under his belt, Gabe Ramirez never sugarcoats how hard the road to being a pro wrestler is.
The first thing I explain to every kid that comes in here is I can't promise you anything. I can teach you what the hammer and nail does. What you built will always be up to you.
In this capacity, crowd already rocking and rolling.
They already have a very clear opinion, John, on who they like and who they don't like.
Back at the 10th anniversary show, Coach Rick, or Grappler Number 3, is still up to no good in the ring as he methodically punishes his opponent, Simon Cross, and lets the crowd know all about it.
Well, here we go. Oh, my God! Just turning Simon Cross inside out.
He's just soaking in the hatred of this crowd. It's like it gives him life somehow.
The boos are deafening, but somebody's got to be the bad guy. In this sport, it's all part of the show. And the show goes on.
I believe everything is an art form, and there are things that I learned 18 years ago that if they're not continued to be taught by myself or my peers from that generation, it's gonna become a dying art.
With the next generation of pro wrestlers honing their craft under Grappler Number 3, the future of the sport in the Bay Area looks to be in good hands. From San Jose, I'm Bo Walsh for Cross Curtains.
You can catch Pro Wrestling Revolution live in action this Saturday, July 28th at the Santa Rosa Veterans Memorial. The show starts at 7 o'clock. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Zoe Ferrigno, Nina Gensler-Debs, Angela Johnston, Marissa Ortega-Welch, True Gwynn, Celine Ross, Marissa Shea, and Eli Wirtschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Shireen Adil is our content manager. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. You can hear the best of Cross Currents anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Do it at kalw.org, click Cross Currents. That's also where you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter. This music is by Del Sol Quartet, and they'll be playing tomorrow at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.